We have the title, or indeed my message this morning, is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Any of you who are really astute and who were awake last week will discover straight away, what's that? The very same passage. And lo and behold, it's even the same text in the same passage. And we'll read that first of all, and then we'll take it from there. So when they had gone, that's the wise men, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I'll call my son. Lord, we pray once more, may your spirit be upon us as we look at this passage for the second time, a different angle, a different focus. But Lord, we pray as always by your Spirit, you will say something to us that is relevant, that is real, and that comes specifically from this portion of Scripture. Lord, may our eyes be open and our understanding be clear, and may it give us light to our feet, direction to our lives, and hope to press on. Pray for this, for new life, and for those who listen at another time, and all God's people said. Last week, the title of our offering was, You Can't Be Serious, and I can't figure out and if it's up so high there, it might be the angle of where I have the thing. You may have to move it back a bit. Anyway, can't be serious, okay. So here's my introduction. Last week, we looked at get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Correct? And we looked at under three headings. There was the suddenness of the command. Just seemed to come from nowhere. We looked at the inconvenience of it. It was in the middle of the night. And even though God is gracious and compassionate and merciful, we were asking the question that we would all think and say, is it not a bit inconsiderate? And we looked at that, correct? That's where we looked last week. This week, or this morning, we're going to look at what comes next. Because last week we were in Bethlehem, correct? This week we will head to Egypt. And our verses really are 13 and 14, maybe 13b and 14. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. That's Joseph. Where he stayed until the death of Herod. So now, if it was possible to interview Joseph in Egypt. He's now in Egypt, right? He has made the long distance. He's there a while at this stage and he's kind of settled in. And we wanted to meet him and ask him a few questions, a kind of a brief interview. Here are some of the questions that I thought that may be relevant, right? The first question I want to ask Joseph, who is really calling the shots here? We know you have left Bethlehem. We know you are in Egypt. But ultimately, who is in control here? Who is calling the shots, Joseph? We know you, of course, you're a devout man and all that. But ultimately, in your life, who is calling the shots, Joseph? Joseph would answer that question, and he would say, God is calling the shots. That's why I'm here. That would be a very fair answer. But that would arouse many other questions, wouldn't it? Because then we have to ask the next question. Well, whose time frame are you working from, Joseph? Because we have the instruction, you have to stay here until Herod kicks the bucket and dies. So whose time frame are you on? Who's in charge of the schedule? His answer would be the very same. It's God's time frame. It's God's schedule I'm on. God is calling the shots, and I am on his time schedule. Does it make sense? It's in the passage. Next question we would ask would be this. Were these terms discussed and agreed in advance? In other words, when the angel told you to take Mary as your wife and not to be afraid, did he say, oh, by the way, look, there's a trip coming up here that we need to throw into the equation? So were these terms discussed and agreed in advance? And the answer, of course, is no. Next question arising from that one would be this one. Have you any say over the length of your stay in Egypt? And the answer is, as long as Herod is alive, I'm stuck here. So the answer is, I really have no say over the stay or the length of stay. The answer would be, none. I have no say over it. Because we know from the text, stay until, so he wasn't in control of how long he was going to be there, nor was Mary. You could ask the very same questions of Mary, you get the same answer. Next question. Were you given any prior knowledge or warning that this would be required of you? And the answer is, no. Final question for Joseph. Now let's call, who's calling the shots here? God is. Whose time frame are you on? I'm on God's. Were these terms discussed and agreed in advance? Absolutely not. Any say over the length? None. Any prior knowledge that this would be required of you? None. Last question. What would it be? This is the best I could come up with. In modern terms. How does all this tie in, Joseph, that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Good question, isn't it? How does all this tie in with the theme, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? His answer would be this. You tell me, because I don't know. All I know is that I had a dream, and I'm down here, and I'm stuck here. And I have no idea how long I'm going to be here for. I just know I need to be here to keep Jesus, our son, safe. Does that make sense? Now, all of that is in the passage. Now, it's very hard for you and me to identify with Joseph, isn't it? In that situation, you look, we're not in Egypt. But it is no way difficult to identify Joseph in real life and our situations. Are you ready for this? So that it makes actually sense. Because this is how God led Joseph. Let's see if you can find some parallels, though you're not in Egypt. So my next heading is, well, what Egypt most likely represents for you. How you know you're in Egypt. Here's a few examples. You end up being in a place or circumstances that are not of your choosing and where you would rather not be. That's Egypt. It just happened to be Egypt for Mary and Joseph. But it can have any name where you are. You are where you don't want to be. Things are not the way you would want them. And you would rather not have it that way. Egypt. Would you agree? And I think that we can identify with that, because we all have that. Second one is this. You have no control over the time frame and the duration of your circumstances. What you have is what you have, and you're stuck with it, and you can't change it. So you can see, actually, there are parallels already on there. This is kind of a pattern that God seems to be working. Number three is this one. You were never consulted or had agreed to the current circumstances in advance. You can identify Joseph, this thing just landed on you. You got stuck with it. You didn't ask for it, you didn't sign up for it, and now you have it. That's exactly what Mary and Joseph had. So you can see in many ways, really, the pattern hasn't changed that much. It's just that Egypt looks a bit different. Next thing I would see in it, what Egypt looks like for us, is this. You've had to let go your hopes, dreams, for the foreseeable future. You're hoping the thing will end and you get out of Egypt. But for the foreseeable future, you're going to have to, you're stuck with it. And you're going to have to let go of plans, dreams, and all of that. Because you're no longer on your own time scale. You're on somebody else, and you actually have no control over it. Or very little, at least. And you discover this frightening truth after signing up that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You discover it is wonderful and it's ingenious, right? It's just not our, it's not the Western mindset of wonderful. This is an ingenious plan that God had for Mary and Joseph. But you discover that saying yes to God is costly and more demanding than you had ever realized. Do you know, I do not consider that, but there are probably a high percentage of people who walk away from God at this point. I have signed up for a wonderful life and blessing. I've never signed up to be in a place where that's not of my choosing. I haven't signed up that I have to give up control over my time frame and my circumstances. This was not agreed in advance, so I'm not doing it. And there's no way I'm letting go of my hopes and my dreams. I'm going this way. Either you're coming with me or not, but I'm going this way. Many, many people never get any further than that. And yet, all of us here are in that situation to some degree. Have been and will be again. But we're still here. So you can see how relevant it is. You know, I've never seen this before. But many of you can identify Joseph and Mary right here, right now. It's just, it looks a bit different. You are where you and the place where you wouldn't want to be necessarily. You've no control over it, never consulted. You have to let go of a lot of stuff. And you just discover, gosh almighty, saying yes to God is incredibly costly. Welcome to Mary and Joseph's world. And it hasn't changed. God's still doing business the same way. The very same way. All right, we'll move on. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Here's my question. Now Joseph and Mary and Jesus are residing in Egypt. What is the most crucial word in this command? The most crucial word. They're now residing in Egypt. Of all the words in there, what is the most crucial? Comox is right. The word stayed. Where he stayed until the death of Herod. And what I want to give you in the remaining moments, this is not a long sermon, the significance of staying and how important it is to stay. It is very difficult, but it's very important. Because Cormac is correct. And why is he correct? Simply because it is. Look at the first thing. You see, the success of God's plan of salvation at this early stage depended on Mary and Joseph staying in Egypt. Joseph and Mary had the most important responsibility on earth at that time. Brief though it was, and it looked so insignificant to everybody else, and yet it was highly significant. The welfare of Jesus as a little baby was in their hands. In actual fact, the success of God's plan at this stage depended on them doing exactly what they were told. And all they were told simply was, stay. Simply stay there until Herod is dead. First thing I see, look, Tak sem si myslel, že staying in this case was only achieved by continuous obedience. You understand? You see, as hard as it is with the spontaneous and God coming at us in the middle of the night and say, get up and go off and do your thing, at least there's only one command. And when you get over the huff and the puff and the inconvenience of it, and you do it, you say, okay, well, sure, I can rest the day after tomorrow and we'll be grand again. But when you're in Egypt, and it's not where you want to be, and it's not where you had signed up for, and you have to stay, then the only way you can handle that is continuous obedience. Now, it's very easy. It's not easy, but it's easier to obey for kind of the one-off things. In the middle of the night and all that. You know, one thing, so you have a start and you have an interest. But this thing didn't, it had an end, just they didn't know when it would end. So it required continuous obedience. No, don't tell me that continuous obedience is easy. Last week we were talking about the suddenness, and Lance was saying to me afterwards that I should go back into my pram and the writer and give me my rattler. I'm still in the pram. Still going mad, because it's ongoing, continuous obedience that's required. You've got to stay until the task is done. That's the whole point of it. And here's the scary part of it. Though commanded to stay, they could have chosen to disobey and leave Egypt at any time of their choosing. That choice was left with them. There wasn't a gun to their head. They could have up sticks and said, I've had enough of this place. We're going back. We'll take our chances. And that choice was theirs to make. So the commanded to stay, they could have chosen to disobey and leave Egypt at a time of their choosing. And often that's where people come a cropper. They get tired in the waiting and say, I have waited long enough. I am now taking matters into my own hands and we're moving with it. And whatever the consequences are. It is very hard to do that. Very hard to stay and keep staying with continuous obedience. Very hard. We don't know the duration of time there. It could have been a few months. Some things could be a year, year and a half. We don't know. It wasn't an eternity, but it was long enough. And they didn't know how long it was going to be anyway. And so if you knew that it was going to be 3 months, you could handle it. But when it's indefinite and you don't know, very hard. All right. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Staying. What does it take to stay when everything inside you is screaming to go? And say, I've had enough, I've done it long enough, that's it. Here are some of the things I think it takes. I'll put in four for us. First of all, obedience. I'm always saying, you have to make a decision to obey. If it's based on in each situation, you're going to fall. Because the suddenness will get you. It's hard enough to obey, but if you don't make that decision, you could be snookered. So obedience is key. Second thing though you need is this. You need endurance. Endurance is not easily got. Because what you're fighting with endurance is weariness. You have lots of endurance in the beginning, but as it goes on, weariness creeps in, and then it's very hard. But you need obedience, but you also need endurance. You need this as well. You need flexibility. God is highly spontaneous. Though he is ingenious at planning down the road for eternity, he's highly spontaneous, and you need flexibility to stay with him. Because he's notorious for springing things on you and springing things on me. Isn't that the truth? So you need flexibility. If you're not flexible with God, you're going to be in a heap of trouble. Because there's going to be fierce arguments. I didn't agree. You didn't say. You could have told me. I'm God. I taught you when you needed to know. So obedience, endurance, flexibility. And the last thing you need is simply this. The willingness to self-sacrifice. You see, Mary and Joseph weren't there for themselves, they were there for baby Jesus. So you need obedience, you need endurance, flexibility, and that spirit of self-sacrifice without being a martyr. Does that make sense? Without being a martyr. That's what it took for them to stay in Egypt. We owe them a great deal of gratitude, don't we? We have benefit from their obedience and from their endurance and for their flexibility and for that sense of self-sacrifice. We have benefited from them. In at their stage of the plan of salvation, what they had to do. So it's very important. All right. Applications, and then we're out of here. You can't be serious, man. Well, I am. It's just desperate, isn't it? So here's a few applications. This has all got to do with staying where you are and finishing well. Does that make sense? Until you get to the end of the road. And here's a few things. This may be helped you. They are not commands from God, but just, you know, thoroughly inspired ideas. Make up your own mind. The first one is simply this. The importance of staying. Staying is crucial until you're told move. First one is, what will be achieved by staying? We're all motivated by purpose. If you ask Mary and Joseph what was going to be achieved by staying, they were going to keep Jesus alive. So when you're ready to throw in the towel and give it up and all that and say, what will be achieved if I hang in there? That's a very important question, isn't it? Because there has to be some gain in it. But there's another question that's even more important than that, and that's how I put it, number two. Will it have significance in the eyes of God that you have achieved and you have stayed on track, or you have achieved the purpose and you got to the end of it? Mind you, you might have been, you know, on all fours, you know. But will it have significance in the eyes of God? You don't. At this day, we're reading about Mary and Joseph because it had significance in the eyes of God. Major significance. We can read about CEOs who will be heading companies today. 50 years from now, they won't be known. Mary and Joseph are still being known for their ability to stay. Number three is this. If I quit, who pays the price? If I don't stay, who pays the price? Don't deceive yourself and saying, I'm the only one that pays the price. Oh no, you're not. Because if this is for the benefit of others, others will pay the price. If Mary and Joseph walked away, it could have been Jesus that would have paid the price. And we would have paid a price as a result of it. So if I quit, who pays the price? It's a great question to ask, isn't it? It's a horrible question to be thinking about, but it's a great question. And do I have a number four? I do. This is my last one. If you say, well, nothing is achieved by staying, and I don't care if it's a matter in God's eyes, here's the last question is, would God entrust me with this responsibility if I was unable to see it through? Would God entrust me with the responsibility if I was unable to see it through? God knew who he was asking when he asked Mary and Joseph. And Joseph might be a bit wobbly in the beginning, but credit is due. It's all right. But when God asks us to do something, or when he entrusts us with something, he is convinced that we're able to see it through. And there you have the importance of staying. Now, by our very nature, our church are good at staying. Bubbles everywhere. But we're very good to stay. And actually, in fact, people on an individual basis, many of them, are very good at, this is where you're at. You're right in Egypt. You have no control over anything. And all the Lord is asking is, stay with it. It will come out the other side. And something significant will be achieved in the eyes of God. And others will benefit as a result of your obedience. And you'll prove God right and say, I knew when I was entrusting this unto you that I had the right person for the job. That is what I got from that text. You can't be serious. I couldn't be more serious. That's exactly what Mary and Joseph did in staying. A word of prayer, and we have stayed long enough. We'll get out of here. So, Lord, we do pray that you would help us, Lord, to stay with the task that is given for the duration while it is given to us. Lord, we will not always be in Egypt. A day will come, Lord, when you will call us out of that and say, time to come out. And, Lord, something will have been achieved by that. So, Lord, help us in this staying, because sometimes, Lord, the weariness gets overwhelming and, Lord, we just want to quit. Lord, may we keep our eyes on you, and so we know, Lord, that in this staying it is significant in your eyes. And, Lord, a day will come and it will be acknowledged. Maybe not on earth, but certainly before you. Lord, help us, Lord, that if when we get wobbly and say, if I do walk, who pays the price? And Lord, the answer is usually others. And Lord, we pray finally. Lord, you wouldn't entrust this to us, only that you know we are capable of doing it. Obviously, Lord, with your help. Without us, Lord, we'd sink. But with your help, we are capable of doing it. Final question. Joseph and Mary, we meet them afterwards. They stayed in Egypt until God said, Herod is dead, out you come. And who knows, your day will come when God says, time to leave Egypt and out you come. My encouragement to you is stay until you're called to come out. I say that to myself, I say it to you as well. And all God's people said, Amen.